Good morning and Merry Christmas to you all. As you can see on the screen, our text this morning is Mark chapter 12 in your Bibles, verses 41 through 44. We're going through the Gospel of Mark verse by verse on Sunday mornings, and we find ourselves this morning in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. If you didn't bring your Bible, you might be able to find one underneath the seat in front of you, and you can turn to page 1170. That's where Mark chapter 12, that's where this passage is. So 1170. Really neat text before us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, as always, we pray for your wisdom. You're the author of this book. You wrote the book. You know the truth that's being communicated, and we need your help. We know that your word says that truth must be spiritually discerned. And by nature, we're not all that spiritual. We need the help of your Holy Spirit. So I pray, Father, that you would speak to us clearly. We give our full attention now to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Christmas season is an exciting season. I love this time of year. It is very busy, though, isn't it? There are lots of things going on, lots of things vying for our attention, and there are lots of gifts to buy. Many of you probably have a list of people that you're going to be giving gifts to, and it takes time to buy gifts, and I would recommend that you actually give meaningful, thoughtful gifts to the people in your life. Think through it. Take that time. It's a wonderful time of year to show the love of God to people in a wonderful, meaningful way. But I want to ask you this question this morning. What are you giving Jesus for Christmas? I mean, whose birthday are we celebrating? It's his birthday. What are you giving him? And is there any gift that we could give to Jesus that would impress him? That would bless him? That would please him? Our text this morning is so beautiful because it has an example of remarkable giving, and it actually speaks about a gift that blessed Jesus, that impresses him, that causes him to go, wow. Let's read it. Look at verse 41. It says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrant." This is such a fascinating passage to me. It's such an interesting scene. It's a holiday week in Jerusalem. Thousands of Jewish pilgrims have come into Jerusalem, into the temple courts, to celebrate the Passover. There's all this hustle and bustle, all of this activity. Jesus has been teaching to large crowds in the courts of the temple. He's been having public debates with the religious leaders, and it would seem here that he's gotten tired now. It's time to take a break. And so he goes and he finds a secluded place just to sit down, get away from the crowd for a while, and it says that he sits opposite the treasury. So he's in a secluded place, but the treasury of the temple is completely visible to him. That was the place where Jewish people came to bring their offerings of money to the Lord. Josephus, the historian, tells us that this was a little room, a little area. It was an open area. You could see it from the outside. And it was located in the court of women in the Jerusalem temple complex. And Josephus tells us that in this little room, there were 13 boxes where you could go and deposit your money to the Lord. We've sort of taken that method here, haven't we? We have these agape boxes that we've spread out around the sanctuary, and those are available for people to give unto the Lord. But the boxes in the temple treasury were much different. Think treasure chest. They were large boxes made entirely of brass. And the receptacles that went into the boxes were also made of brass, and they were like funnels, almost like an upside-down trumpet. And in fact, that's what they called these 13 boxes. They had a nickname for them. They called them the 13 trumpets. And that's where you'd line up and you'd put your coins in the trumpet, giving to the Lord. It's Passover. People are lined up. Many Jews, this is their only opportunity for the entire year to give to the Lord because they live out of town. And there's a crowd, and Jesus is just sitting there watching them. Jesus was a people watcher. Do you like to watch people when you're at the airport? Or at the mall, you just sort of kick back and watch. Jesus was like that. Check that out. He's watching people give to the Lord. And it says that he observed many rich people putting big offerings into those trumpets. Now remember, they didn't use paper money, coins. Can you imagine the sound of coins going into a brass trumpet? Into the chest? Clang. He saw many rich people putting in lots. And then he saw this poor old widow walk in. She had lost her husband. In those days when you didn't have a husband, you were in big trouble financially, economically. The text says that she was poor. That's a word in the Greek that means completely destitute. Living in abject poverty. Here is a woman who was barely getting by, living hand to mouth, and she enters that treasury and she drops two mites. The lepton is the Greek word translated mite here. Lepton literally means the thin one. Lepton means a tiny little thing. It was used to speak of morsels, crumbs. It was the smallest coin that you could use in those days. And obviously it was the less valuable coin that you could possibly use. Estimated 1/40th of a pence, a fraction of a penny. And here she comes and she drops those two little coins into the trumpet, probably barely made a noise, just a little ping, ping. Nobody observed it. Nobody probably even noticed her. But Jesus did. And that little offering warmed the heart of Christ, blessed him. It doesn't say in the text, but I'm sure that Christ smiled. Understand that Jesus was able to see what was going on in that treasury that day in a way that no other human could. You see, Jesus, being God, knew everything that was going on. He saw all of the facts. He's observing, and he knew the exact amounts that were being deposited, right down to the mite. Jesus also knew the economic background of everyone who was giving that day. He knew those that were rich. He knew those that were middle class. He knew those that were poor. Jesus even knew the exact proportion of what people were giving in comparison to the resources they had. He knew who was giving 10%. He knew who was giving 20%. He knew who was given 0.5%. He knew all of those facts, and his observation skills even went deeper. Because look what it says in 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. He knew the hearts. He knew the attitudes. He knew the motivation. Everything was completely open and bare. He knew the people that were giving to the Lord their money, and he could see the pain on some of their faces.
Gonna part with my money.
He knew the people that were giving with pride, arrogance. He knew exactly the people who were giving cheerfully. He knew exactly those who were giving the right way. See, everything was completely open before Christ that day. And by the way, you know that's still true, right? Did you know that Jesus is still a people watcher? And did you know that Jesus still has those very same observation skills? He knows what, he knows if, he knows how, he knows why. You know, it's very, very, very important how you give to the Lord. Very important. He sees it. Now, this passage gets even more interesting because it moves from observation to evaluation. Jesus has been observing all this. We don't know how long he was sitting there, maybe an hour, just watching people come in and out. But he's observing, and then he calls his disciples to himself to evaluate what he's just seen. And what he says is remarkable. Look at verse 43. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she put out of her poverty. But she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." In the eyes of Christ that day, what was the greatest offering? Two little mites. The offering of that poor old widow. In fact, he goes on to say, in the eyes of God, her offering was more valuable than the total amount of all the other offerings given that day. And the disciples must have went, whoa. What a different way to have. Do you understand that the amount of money that's giving really doesn't matter all that much? Do you see that? Do you see how clear? Do you see that in the eyes of Jesus, how you give is way, way, way more important than the amount that's given? Those two little mites bless the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look how he valued them. What was so special about this poor woman's offering? Well, there were several things. Number one, she definitely did not want any attention from man. She did not give to impress anybody, did she? She was not trying to draw attention to herself. I mean, who's she going to impress with two mites, right? From a manly standpoint, from an external standpoint, she was not trying to get attention. And you need to understand, it's very, very important. When you give to the Lord, you should never seek to draw attention to yourself in front of other people. It's very, very important. Now, the way they had things set up here in the temple treasury was actually kind of sad because it made a circus out of giving to the Lord. That treasury was, as you can, it was open, it was public. You could watch people giving to the Lord. And as I said, when you put coins in a trumpet, makes a big noise. Josephus, the historian, tells us that there were many wealthy Jews who would use that venue to take the opportunity to show off their wealth and generosity. Josephus tells us that some of the wealthiest Jews, they'd come and they had bags of money. So many bags of coins that they even brought servants with them. And picture this, they go to the big trumpet, they pull out that bag. Clang, 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 clang. And then another bag. Clang, clang. And can you see the crowd going? And them kind of strutting themselves. Look what I just did. Josephus even tells us that some of them would compete, line up, see who could make the biggest sound. They may have impressed a lot of people that day, but they didn't impress Jesus. Do you understand? The Lord is not impressed with big donations that are made publicly designed to bring attention to the donator. In fact, the rich person who gives a large contribution to something and then calls a press conference. Look what I gave. Or listen, the person that might give money to a school or a church and ask that a hall be named after him. I wouldn't do that. That doesn't impress the Lord. In fact, listen to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet. Is that interesting? Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Isn't that interesting? When you give, don't sound the trumpet to impress. And that's exactly what lots of people were doing. Jesus says, when you give gifts to the Lord, keep it secret. It should be so secret that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. And the Bible says, the Lord will reward you openly. So this woman, she gave in a right way. She gave in a way that blessed the Lord. She was not seeking to draw attention to herself. If anything, she probably had to fight the embarrassment of going in, right? That anybody might see her drop these two little coins in, but she did it. Secondly, her gift was so pleasing to the Lord because it was completely sacrificial. I mean, this was a sacrificial gift. Do you understand? Look what he says in verse 44. They all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Whoa. Those two mites were probably her wage for that day. And remember, she's living hand to mouth. She gave it all to the Lord that day. Do you understand that this old widow, putting those two mites in that trumpet that day, was that widow making a decision? Well, I won't eat today. I'll fast today. I'll forego my meals for today. You talk about sacrifice. She had two mites. She could have kept one and given the other. That'd be giving 50%. Ooh. She gave 100%. She gave everything that day. And you know what? It may have been her decision. I'm not going to eat that day. But I just know God fed her that day. Don't you? In fact, I'll bet she had one of the best meals she's had in weeks. Because the Lord saw this sacrificial gift and it blessed his heart. Jesus says, disciples, look at this woman. Look what she gave. Look what he said about the others that gave that day. Verse 44. They all put in out of their abundance. The idea is that most of the people that went through the treasury that day, they had a lot of money. And they had so much money that they were able to easily meet their monthly obligations. They had a lot of money that was, you know, able to provide for even things like entertainment, luxury items, whatever. They had a lot of money. And it was out of that pot that they gave. And quite frankly, the money that they gave to the Lord that day wouldn't be missed anyway. It was out of the abundance. It didn't cost them anything. It didn't hurt. That's how they gave. And Jesus saw that. And we just discovered that some of them gave, it didn't hurt them, and some of them gave just to boost their profile. When we give to the Lord, it should cost. There should be a sacrifice to it. That's very pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. You remember the story of King David in 2 Samuel chapter 24. He's told by the prophet Gad, I want you to build an altar on a threshing floor that belonged to a very wealthy Jebusite man named Araunah. And so David went to this wealthy man and said, listen, I need to buy your threshing floor because I need to build an altar. And this wealthy man said to David, King, it's yours. Take it. You can have it. I'll just give it to you. And I'll give you oxen and wood. Just take it. It's all yours. And do you remember how David answered him? He said, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, which was way more than that property really cost. David said, if I'm going to give, it's going to cost. And that is very, very precious in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Listen carefully. It is a practical way to tell God, you're way more important in my life than anything or anyone else. It's a practical way to say, you're the most important part of my life. I will give even that which costs. The widow was saying to the Lord that day, You're so important to me. You're more important to me than eating today. Isn't that neat? And that brings up the third reason why I think Jesus was so blessed by this widow's gift. Don't you just know it was a genuine expression of her love and her worship and her surrender? I mean, her coming in into the treasury with those two mites, offering up everything that she had for the day, it's like she's saying to the Lord, I don't have much, but what I have, I give all. She's saying, Lord, I love you. Here's my life. Here's my heart. Here is the sum total of me. Take. That's the right way to give, right? She wasn't playing any games. It was an expression of her love and worship. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's certainly, when we give to the Lord, that's how we should give. We should give with that same attitude, right? And think of that in every way that you serve the Lord. The giving of your time. The giving of resources. The giving of the talents that God has given you. Give all that to the Lord as expressions of your love, your worship, your surrender. Now, the whole context of this passage is concerning money and the giving of money to the Lord. I want you to understand something. Money is not the important thing. Is money important to God?
Is God going to go broke without your money?
Does he need our money? And yet the Bible says that we should give money to him. Why does he do that? Here's the reason. The Lord knows how important money is to us. And you know what? Money is important, isn't it? It's how we make a living. The Lord also knows how easily it is for money to become an idol, even in the lives of Christians. And so the Lord asks us to give, not because he needs it, but because we need it. Because you see, what it does is it's a practical way to keep us on track. It's a practical way for us to show who's going to be first place in our lives. In Matthew chapter 6, again, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Did you know that your wallet is attached to your heart? And how you use the wallet shows where your heart is. If you want to see the most important thing in your life, look at what you pay for. But then the other thing's true too. Your heart will follow after your wallet. In other words, what you invest in, your heart will follow after. And if you begin giving to the Lord in a wonderful way, your heart follows after that. I mean, think about it. Those of you who have invested in the stock markets, which stocks do you track on your little ticker? Do you track the stocks that you haven't invested in? You track the stocks that you have money into. The Bible teaches that a wonderful way to keep your heart on track is to invest in the kingdom of God. By the way, you never lose on that investment. I want to challenge all of us this morning to become remarkable givers just like this widow. And you know, you can apply these principles to everyone of every economic background. The wealthy can apply these principles. Every person of every income can apply these principles. How did she give? She gave not wanting to be seen by man. She gave sacrificially. And she gave as a true expression of worship and love. We can all give like that, and we should all give like that. You know, there are some Christians who might think, well, I don't have anything. All I have is two mites. What good is that going to be? Don't you see how good that can be? Don't you see? And I will tell you this. When we give like this to the Lord, He supernaturally, abundantly blesses and unlocks miracles in us and through us and impacting many people in this world. Think about that little kid, that little boy who gave 5 loaves and 3 fish to Jesus that day. What if he said to himself, it's mine. What if he said to himself, what good is it? But he gave it, and Jesus multiplied it and fed 5,000. You know, the Lord has used the offering of this poor widow in amazing ways over the last 2,000 years. Think about it. Her story made scripture. And the church has been reading her story for 2,000 years. And she probably had no idea. One author says, those 2 pennies, given quietly with the widow's motive, have produced more for the kingdom in the intervening 2,000 years than all other gifts presented that Passover week. Down through the ages, those 2 minuscule coins have been multiplied into billions and billions for God's work. As humble people have been liberated to give their little. The Lord has converted those 2 coins into a perennial wealth of contentment and instruction for His church. What God will do and how God will bless. You know, we saw it in action yesterday morning. You know, I imagined I saw those food baskets and I saw all the things that were going on. And I thought of maybe the person who brought in a can of corn. Here's my can of corn. And how God used all of that together to do miracles. We saw miracles yesterday. Through the giving of God's people. My job yesterday morning was to preach a gospel message. That's what I was supposed to do, and so I came up ready to do that. There was one important thing that I forgot, though. Lisa had asked me, be sure to get a Spanish translator. I forgot. The one thing that I was asked to do, I forgot. So we're praying. And I'm asked, do you get the Spanish translator? Busted publicly, sorry. And so what we did while we were all lined up and holding hands, and we said, can anybody translate? Anyone? There were people kind of. And one of our dear brothers, I'll try. Never translated. New Spanish. New English, obviously, but never, ever translated. And he said, I'll give it a shot. So I sat with him a little bit. We went over what I was going to go through. And there was a terrific move of the Holy Spirit. Both me and my brother who helped me, we literally felt the Holy Spirit surging through our bodies as we shared. And I have used Spanish translators in other countries. And not one was as smooth as it went yesterday morning. And here's a man. I'll try. I'll give. I'll give what I have. That's how you give to the Lord. Amen? That's how you give. You know, the Lord will also greatly reward those who give. And really, if you think about it, who should be the most generous people on the face of the planet? Christians, right? Because we believe in the most generous God, the one true living God. It's been well said, you can never outgive God, right? And at this time of the year, we remember and celebrate the fact that God gave everything for us. Christ gave everything, even his last drop of blood. God gave his only begotten Son. He's given a... God gave 100%. God gave his all so that you and I might be forgiven, so that you and I might have our sins forgiven, so that you and I may have the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven when we die. For those of us here this morning who have received Christ, we need to be like our Heavenly Father. He was the giver, we need to give. Giving to him and giving to others. All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning for who you are. We look at your grace. We look at your generosity. We thank you this morning for the gift of salvation, which you have provided so freely through a sacrifice that cost you everything, everything. And for those of us who have received you this morning, may we live a life pointing others to you. May we be generous. May we give gifts of love, not only to you, Lord, but to others. Be first place in our hearts. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to have an opportunity to make a decision this morning. The Bible says that salvation is a gift from heaven. Jesus Christ has done all the work. The Bible says we are all sinners. We've all fallen short, and our sin separates us from God. And if we're going to become members of his family, we got to get all of those sins washed away. Jesus came to wash your sins away. See, he came to take your sins upon himself and die for them at the cross. He paid the penalty for you. And he rose again the third day. He has defeated death. And right now the Bible says if you will place your faith in him, because of what he did for you, All your sins can be forgiven. You can become a member of His kingdom. But just like any other gift, you've got to take it. You've got to unwrap it. Take it. Have you ever taken it? You would do so just simply through a prayer. And I'd like to read you, to lead you right now in a prayer. If you've never received Christ, do it right now. He'll change your life forever. Pray this with me. Say simply, Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your great sacrifice. Wash away all my sins. Make me a child in your family. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with a new capacity to love others. Your capacity. In Jesus' name, amen.